You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The Brexit saga rumbles on and it becomes even more complex, even more unfathomable. With me to discuss it and other matters is Jane Foley, who's the head of Forex strategy at Rabobank in London. I saw you at an ungodly hour this morning on the BBC, Jane, and despite the fact it was early, even you, I could sort of sense in your face that even you were either excited or astonished by what's happening.
It is absolutely incredible that what we've seen over the last few days. I mean, certainly from a historic point of view, but for the markets, it is, you know, a lot of political uncertainty for investors, for businesses to cope with. Now, we've seen sterling really behave as a barometer to that uncertainty. And of course, the real issue for businesses, although there are lots of different layers of political uncertainty, but at its core is this risk of a no-deal Brexit. And what we've seen through the House of Commons this week is that become far less likely. Last week, the market was again very concerned about a hard Brexit because, of course, that's when we had the news that Prime Minister Johnson was going to suspend Parliament for some weeks over the autumn term. But now Parliament have squeezed in, it seems, or not quite, but it looks likely that it will squeeze in some legislation before they are suspended that will stop a no-deal Brexit at the end of next month.
Yeah, I noticed the House of Lords. I have just seen something on CNN that the House of Lords has abandoned its efforts to block the bill. And again, I'm getting very confused between the House of Commons, the House of Lords, Boris Johnson, Jeremy Corbyn, the Brexit Party and everything else. Maybe you could explain that if you've seen the news, that there's a big banner on CNN as I'm watching it now saying breaking news.
Well, that's right. The legislation, of course, has to have a couple of readings in the House of Commons, and then it also has to be go through its passage in the House of Lords. And there was some concern that there would be some delays in the House of Lords, that they would try and just talk so much that they wouldn't have time to pass this legislation. But it was agreed overnight that they would not seek to try and delay this legislation. They would read it, they would allow it to go through its passage, and by the end of tomorrow they should have finished and approved their part of this law. And that meant that by this morning, although the deed hadn't been done, it seemed very, very likely that this law that would prevent a no-deal Brexit at the end of next month would be passed and signed by the Queen, potentially as early as Monday. Now, of course, that isn't the end of the saga by any stretch of the imagination. The Prime Minister has said that he won't be the person that would ask for a delay. The legislation, assuming that it is signed by the Queen next week, actually provides some of the text that he is supposed to use in a letter to Brussels asking for this delay to the new Brexit date. So what will the Prime Minister do? Will he send the letter anyway? Will he resign? It's very difficult to know. Now, of course, what he wanted was to have an election in October the 15th, just ahead of an EU summit on the 17th. He is hoping for a majority, which he doesn't have now. And of course, if he did have a majority, well, he would just change the law, presumably, and potentially go through with a hard Brexit on October the 31st. But the opposition haven't allowed him to have a general election. There probably will be one, but maybe a little bit later on towards the end of this year. So it looks for now that the Prime Minister may be cornered. But of course, we're all waiting for what his next move will be.
We have to talk a little bit about politics. And if you're uncomfortable talking about it because of your high profile position in a major financial institution, then just please tell me, Lindsay, I can't answer that question. But the first point I'd like to make is that some people watch Love Island, other people watch football, some people watch documentaries. I watch PMQs. And yesterday was an extraordinarily entertaining session between Corbyn and Boris Johnson. It was a fascinating hour that I watched.
It was, and you know, one thing that you will have watched the Prime Minister attack the opposition leader. We've seen the front page of the Sun newspaper in the UK. We've seen a chicken with the opposition leader's head attached to it, and now it is the Prime Minister was accusing the opposition leader of being the only chlorinated chicken that he could see. There was another digs also from the Prime Minister to the opposition leader. The opposition leader, however, is more experienced than the front benches and probably held up quite well, came across with a fair degree of professionalism potentially in these circumstances. But the Prime Minister, of course, it has been accused by many people of being fairly untrustworthy. We know, of course, of his past. We know that he had been accused and lost his job early on in his career for plagiarism. A lot of people have accused him of lying in the Brexit campaign. So he is described as somebody who has certain foibles in his character, but he's also described as somebody who has immense likability. People do like him. He has a lot of charisma and can come across as a very good speaker. So he has both very different strengths and potentially weaknesses to the opposition leader, and it is quite fascinating to see them pitched against each other, as we saw yesterday.
This has got nothing to do with you, and I know you won't endorse these comments, but I couldn't think of anybody better to go on a walking tour of the Pennines with than Boris Johnson. He must be great fun, but I can't think of, at the moment, anybody less qualified to lead the country. And I think, I'm having a bet with paddypower.com at the moment, that he will be have the shortest tenure at number 10 of any previous leader. That is my personal view, because I just think he's just gone a little bit too gung-ho. He's had four votes and he's lost all of them.
Well, that's exactly right, and you won't be the only one placing that bet, and there are too many more days that he has to sustain, really, in order to achieve that rank as the shortest acting Prime Minister. This is why, of course, he wants to have a general election. He thinks that it's possible that he can get a majority over the last few weeks. There's been lots of talk about fiscal spending. We had his Chancellor yesterday in the spending review again outline further fiscal spending, and this is all to do with, of course, rallying up support. But it is quite an interesting position, because what we've seen Boris Johnson do this week is expel 21 members of the 21 Tory MPs from the party. He's removed the whip from them, and that is because they voted against him earlier on in the week. Now, what may happen then is that they may be deselected when it comes to by their local parties, when it comes to the next election. And they could quite well and quite likely be replaced with hardliners, hard Brexiteers. So what we're seeing is a Tory party that used to appeal to quite a broad base of the electorate becoming more right-wing and becoming more hard-line Brexiteer. And that is quite interesting, because whilst that might appeal, obviously, to some voters, to many leavers, that vote could be split because Nigel Farage's Brexit Party. Nigel Farage aims to stand a person at each constituency in the next election. So people could be faced with two Brexiteer choices at the election. Now, that would potentially not favour Boris Johnson well. Instead, he is looking for some seats that have historically been Labour seats. But again, these are now defined by Brexiteer seats. So it's a very fascinating picture that we have across the country in terms of which party is going to get support from where, because the Brexit lines of Remain and Leave cut very differently to the historic left, right, or Tory Labour lines that we've seen for generations. So theoretically, this election could be very interesting. Practically, it's going to be very difficult, I suspect, for pollsters to try and get an accurate picture of what might be the outcome of the next election.
We've had so many pundits so wrong when it came to Donald Trump, when it came to Brexit, the original vote, they surprised everybody, the results, that is. And I think that I wouldn't be a bookmaker trying to predict what's going to happen with the election, should there be one. He wants it on October the 15th. Who knows when it will be, but it has to be quite soon, I think. But let's get away from politics now, if we can, Jane, and go to the economy of the United Kingdom and also to Forex, of course. But the UK may be sliding into recession. Is that your opinion?
There's certainly significant risk of that. Now, we know already, of course, that the UK did print a negative Q-on-Q GDP number in the second quarter. So clearly, to reach that definition of technical recession, we just need one more quarter of negative GDP. Now, will we have that? Well, some of the indicators that we've been seeing certainly this week suggest that the chances of that are indeed rising. So, for instance, the data that we've had this week has been predominantly forward-looking. It's been survey data. We've had PMI, the purchasing managers' reports for the manufacturing sector earlier in the week, which was soft, followed by another soft report for the construction sector and a fairly soft report for the much larger services sector too. But in addition to that, we've had some survey evidence from the BRC, the British Retail Consortium, on retailing. Now, that was worryingly soft too. Now, what we've seen in the UK economy, in fact, if we look at the second quarter GDP numbers, one of the strongest elements of the second quarter GDP was the consumer sector. Retailing did rise, and that propped up the economy. Now, that perhaps isn't as surprising as you might think. Unemployment is pretty low, and wages have been rising, albeit moderately. So there has been some support to consumers in the sector. But as we move on and down into the later part of the year, it is likely that we will see some of the uncertainty that has already weighed on the investment sector of the economy, that we're now seeing weighing on manufacturing, construction, that is likely to come through, and that's some loosening in the labour market, perhaps some more uncertainty in consumer sector, and we could see consumers also beginning to pull back. And that will leave the economy really quite exposed, bearing in mind that we're not having a very strong buffer at the moment because, of course, Eurozone growth is seeing a lot of headwinds. Germany, for instance, also shrunk in the second quarter, and that economy is feeling a lot of the headwinds from China and their export sector.
Okay, let's have a look at Forex now, if we can, because the British pound against the US dollar, the cable, as it's known, is just above 123 at the moment, has been lower. What is your prognosis, a bargain or a free hit?
Well, what we're seeing for cable now, the relief rally, we've seen quite a significant relief rally from the lows below 120 earlier on in the week. That is based on the assumption that we will not now see a hard Brexit after or on October the 31st. So that now is reflected in the price. What we don't know for sure just yet is if a hard Brexit could come back to potentially haunt us in the future. That may, of course, depend on who wins an election and when the election will be. Now, we know it won't be October the 15th now, and that's because the government lost one of the votes last night about this. The Labour Party abstained on the vote on the election, so there wasn't the necessary two-thirds majority to push that through. But it is likely that there will be an election later on in the year, and if Boris Johnson does win a majority, if he comes back as an emboldened Prime Minister, well, a no-deal Brexit could certainly be well back on the cards. If he doesn't, if we get a more left-wing coalition government, well, we could have a Remain on the cards. Now, if we did have a Remain, we're likely to see a significant spike in the value of the pound. But if Boris Johnson comes back, an emboldened Prime Minister after an election, well, sterling is likely to go down. So again, this is quite contrary to the usual reactions of a currency to governments. Generally, we see a liking by investors for right-wing governments and concern over left-wing governments because of the associations with budget concerns. But this time round, seems like it's going to be the other way around for the pound.
You've got so much to think about domestically as head of Forex strategy at the Rabobank Bank, but we have to look at the euro-dollar as well, because I've got the euro-dollar here on my screen at around about 110.60. In other words, 1 euro buying 1.106 US dollars, and it wasn't that long ago that it was maybe 10 basis points stronger than that, the euro, that is. Is it the euro weakness or is it dollar strength? Because the dollar, of course, is subjected to a potential falling interest rate environment.
And so is the euro. And I think that is perhaps one thing that has been under-anticipated by the market through the course of this year. So, yes, we are seeing a strong dollar. That there's very few G10 currencies that have outperformed the dollar this year. There's a couple, but not many. And the market at the start of the year was certainly of the view that the dollar would underperform, because then there was a big focus on the Federal Reserve and this perception that the Federal Reserve would be cutting interest rates. But of course, the Federal Reserve is not the only central bank that has turned dovish. And if we look at the other G10 central banks, well, the New Zealand and the Australian central banks have been far more proactive. They've cut interest rates a few times, each of them. The Fed has only cut interest rates once. If we look at the euro, I would say that Draghi has been more successful in surprising the market this year with dovish commentary. And every time he's surprised, well, he's managed to get some leverage on the currency and weaken the euro. So perhaps he, although he has far less room, you could argue, for monetary stimulus, perhaps he's been wiser in a way that he has had more bang for his buck by surprising, using the element of surprise. But there is another reason that the dollar is a firm currency, irrespective of the central bank interest rate policy. And this is because the dollar is the world's dominant payment currency. It dominates the world payment system. And what we see is that when risk appetite declines, demand for the dollar potentially rises or certainly remains very firm. There's a lot of demand for dollars in various different countries around the world. There is dollar-denominated debt, for instance. When risk appetite declines, that people need to know that they can cover their liabilities, demand for the dollar goes up. When we see emerging market stocks being sold off in times of increased risk aversion, it's generally a time when the dollar goes up. Money seems to flow back from emerging market or risky assets back into the US. So what we're seeing is that for an awful lot of people around the world, the dollar for them serves as a safe haven. And in this sort of environment, the Fed has, or the Fed's interest rate policy has perhaps less impact on the dollar than another currency central bank, another country would have on its currency.
So much for you to think about for the rest of the month and probably for the rest of the year. But what is your call now, if you're allowed to say so? What is your call on the cable and also on the euro dollar, please?
Well, on the euro dollar, I think the dollar will remain firm, and I think we're going to be holding close to 110, at least for the next 3 months. I think it gets a bit more interesting in 2020. We've got a view that the Fed in the latter half of next year will start cutting interest rates very aggressively. And at that point, you might see the dollar wavering a little bit more and the euro potentially picking up a little bit, some moderate ground. Now, with respect to cable, the outlook for cable is totally dependent on politics. Yes, sterling is weighed down by economic data, and that's certainly a factor here. But politics is the most dominant effect. Now, our central view is that Brexit will happen with a deal. So we're not looking for a no-deal Brexit. And on that horizon, we are expecting that sterling will be able to pull back some ground moderately in the months ahead. But I think it is likely to be a very rocky ride.
Fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for your analysis, Jane. That was Jane Foley, who's the head of Forex Strategy at Rabobank in London. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.